part two, shadow work. In this segment, we'll focus on how to start getting to know your shadow, including five shadow work exercises. The shadow isn't a popular topic, although that's starting to change. Who enjoys owning their flaws, weaknesses, selfishnesses, nastiness, hate, and so on? Focusing on our strengths is more life-affirming. However, exploring our shadow side gives us tremendous opportunities for growth and development. Let's look at five benefits one can experience from doing Jungian shadow work. Number one, improved relationships. As you integrate your shadow side and come to terms with your darker half, you see yourself more clearly. You become more grounded, human, and whole. When you can accept your own darker parts, it is easier to accept the shadow in others. As a result, other people's behavior won't trigger you as easily. You will also have an easier time communicating as well. You may notice an improvement in your relationships with your spouse, family members, friends, and business associates. 2. Clear perception. In seeing others and yourself as you are, without distortions brought on by self-deception, you'll have a cleaner lens with which to view the world. As you integrate your shadow, you're approaching your authentic self, which gives you a more realistic assessment of who you are. You won't perceive yourself as being too great, inflated, or too small, deflated. When you are self-aware, you can assess your environment more accurately from a state of neutrality. You will see others and evaluate situations with greater clarity and understanding. 3. Enhanced energy and physical health. Dragging around this invisible bag of stuff behind us is draining. It is exhausting work to continually repress and suppress all of the parts of ourselves that we don't want to face. Fatigue and lethargy can plague the unexamined life. Mental suppression can also lead to physical pain, illness, disease, and addictive behaviors. Dr. John Sarno healed thousands of patients of chronic back pain by helping them acknowledge the repressed rage in their unconscious. With Jungian shadow work, you liberate a tremendous reservoir of energy you were unconsciously investing in protecting yourself. This can greatly improve your physical, mental, and emotional health. Shadow work can bring your inner strength and a greater sense of balance, making you better equipped to take on life's challenges. 4. Psychological integration and maturity. As long as we deny our shadows and repress certain parts of ourselves, a sense of wholeness, integration, and unity is elusive. How can we feel a sense of wholeness and balance with a divided mind? Developmental research suggests that only a very small percentage, less than 5%, ever reach mature psychological development. That is, psychological maturity is rare. Integrating the shadow brings you one step closer to realizing a sense of wholeness. It is a critical step to achieving mature adulthood. 5. Greater creativity. One of the profound benefits of Jungian shadow work is that it unlocks more of your creative potential. Creativeness, as psychologists like Abraham Maslow and Carl Rogers found, is a spontaneous occurrence in mentally healthy, integrated individuals. Jung found that all of his patients began engaging in acts of self-expression, drawing, painting, dancing, sculpting, fictional writing, etc., at a certain stage in the process of inner work. 5 tips for beginners doing shadow work. So, if you are going to begin doing shadow work, which the Lord is highly encouraging, here are 5 things that will make it easier to approach your shadow. 1. Center yourself. This is perhaps the most important thing to do before you engage in shadow work. Yet, it's rarely, if ever, mentioned in literature about working with the shadow. If you attempt to get to know your shadow self when you're not centered within, you won't get constructive results. The shadow represents a cluster of various parts hidden within your psyche. Only from your center can you get to know these parts. If one of these parts is blended with you, it will hijack the process. You will be judgmental, critical, or confused. This will inhibit your ability to both get to know and integrate your shadow. Before you begin working with your shadow, you want to be in a calm, clear, neutral space. That is, you want to be in your center. 2. Cultivate self-compassion. Before you get to know your shadow, it is helpful to cultivate a sense of unconditional friendliness with oneself. In Buddhism, it's called Maitri. Without friendliness and self-compassion, it is difficult to look at our darker stuff. If you are hard on yourself when you make decisions, it is difficult to confront your shadow. If you are accustomed to feeling shame or guilt, you need to transmute these emotions with friendliness, self-acceptance, and self-compassion. Start by accepting your humanness. Remember that we all have a shadow. Everyone is in the soup together, as Ung used to say. You may find it helpful to connect to your heart. Place your attention on your heart. Breathe in and acknowledge your heart. Breathe out and say to your heart, "Thank you." It's a simple Buddhist practice offered by Thich Nhat Hanh. I used to have that name down and I totally just butchered it. 3. Develop self-awareness. Seeing the shadow requires a self-reflective mindset, the ability to observe and reflect on our behaviors, thoughts, feelings, and attitudes. Sitting meditation can help foster non-judgmental awareness, the ability to stay aware of the present moment without involving the inner critic or other modes of judgment. Self-awareness and self-reflection are precursors to shadow work because they help us observe and evaluate feelings and emotional reactions without judgment or criticism. 4. Be courageously honest. Self-honesty and integrity are also prerequisites for shadow work. It's easy to give lip service to these qualities, but true self-honesty means being willing to see unpleasant attributes in our behavior and personality. It is often uncomfortable to come to terms with your disowned parts, which is why the ego invests so much energy in repressing them. Seeing and accepting your insecure selfishness and tyrannical nasty parts can be challenging. To take an honest look at your attitudes, behaviors, dark thoughts, and emotions requires courage. The rewards are worth the discomfort, as these honest confrontations with your shadow help heal the splits in your psyche. 5. Record your discoveries. It's fascinating how some of our disowned parts want to remain out of our view. Similar to how a dream slips out of mind moments after awakening, our disowned parts can be elusive. A writing journal where you record your discoveries about yourself is one remedy. Writing your insights and reviewing them later helps encode the discovery into your conscious awareness. Five shadow work exercises. Are you ready to get started? Here are five initial shadow work exercises. Exercise 1. Watch your emotional reactions. Remember that the shadow is elusive. It hides behind us. Our defense mechanisms are designed to keep our shadows repressed and out of view. The more you pay attention to your behavior and emotions, the better chances you have of catching your shadow in the act. We tend to project our disowned parts onto other people. One of the best ways to identify your shadow is to pay attention to your emotional reactions toward others. Sure, your colleagues might be aggressive, arrogant, inconsiderate, or impatient. But if you don't have those same qualities within you, you won't have a strong reaction to their behavior. Train yourself to observe your reactions. If you are paying close attention, you can train yourself to notice your shadow when you witness strong, negative emotional responses to others. As Ung wrote in Memories, Dreams, Reflections, everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves. But we rarely have time to work with those emotions on the spot. At the end of the day, it's helpful to take 5 or 10 minutes to reflect on your interactions with others and your related reactions. Whatever bothers you in another is likely a disowned part within yourself. Focus on what and who evokes an emotional charge in you. It doesn't matter what the emotion is, it's a clue you are denying something within you. Exercise 2. Engage in inner dialogue. Many forms of inner work require you to engage in an active dialogue with your shadow side. At first, this might seem like a scary idea since many of us have a belief that only crazy people talk to themselves. But all of us have many subpersonalities, numerous unrecognized autonomous parts in our minds. Ung calls these superpersonalities archetypes. Many different psychologies offer ways of working with these disparate parts, including Ung's active imagination, Schwartz's internal family systems, Stone and Winkelmann's voice dialogue, Assagioli's psychosynthesis. I think I totally butchered that. Oh, well. When we don't pay attention to these parts, one or many of which represent aspects of our shadow, they have a way of influencing our attitudes and behavior. Talk to your parts. Have you ever done or said something and then wondered why you did or said it? A part of your psyche was taking charge. Every so-called accident is a subpersonality hijacking your behavior. Our disowned parts aren't always trying to hurt us, but when we ignore or deny them, they often do. By dialoguing with them in our imagination or a journal, we can integrate many of these parts into our conscious selves. Then they become our allies instead of our enemies. Exercise 3. Challenge the good part. Many of us identify ourselves as being a good person. We were praised as children for being a good boy or good girl, and their identification stuck with us. This intensified the split between our conscious self-identity and our shadow. Make a list of all of your positive qualities. Then highlight the opposite. Try to identify the opposite within yourself. For example, if you define yourself as a disciplined person, you're likely repressing your lazy part. The lazy part is hiding in the shadows. The disowned parts influence your behavior and attitudes. They are constantly creating internal tension. So, in this case, try identifying with this lazy part. See it. Accept it. Make friends with it. It's okay to be lazy too. Exercise 4. Get to know the shadow archetypes. Perhaps one of the easiest ways of getting to know your shadow is to familiarize yourself with the work of Neo-Jungian Robert Moore. Moore has outlined the structure of the psyche in archetypal terms. In his book written with Douglas Gillette, Moore suggests that the 4 primary archetypes of the psyche are the king, warrior, magician, and lover. Each archetype possesses qualities we define as the best attributes of mature adulthood. But for each constructive archetype, there is a destructive shadow, and not just one shadow archetype, but 2, an active side and a passive side, bipolar. For example, the shadows of the king are the tyrant and the weakling. The shadows of the magician are the detached manipulator and the innocent one. Getting to know these bipolar shadows makes it easier to identify their thoughts and behavioral patterns within yourself. I highly recommend Moore and Gillette's King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. It's one of the most important books on psychology for those interested in the shadow, in my opinion. Exercise 5, the 3-2-1 shadow process. Finally, if you want a step-by-step method for working with your shadow, try the 3-2-1 shadow process developed by Integral Philosophy Ken Wilber in Integral Life Practice. Here are the basic steps. Step 1, choose what you want to work with. It's often easier to begin with a person with whom you have difficulty, such as a partner, relative, boss. This person may irritate, disturb, annoy, or upset you, or maybe you feel attracted to, obsessed with, infatuated with, or possessive about this person. Choose someone with whom you have a strong emotional charge, whether positive or negative. Step 2. Face it. Now imagine this person. Describe those qualities that most upset you or the characteristics you are most attracted to using third-person language, he, she, it. Talk about them out loud or write them down in a journal. Express your feelings. Don't calculate. Say the right thing. There is no need to be nice. The person you are describing will never see this. Step 3. Talk to it. Dialogue with this person in your imagination. Speak in the second person to this person using you language. Talk directly to this person as if he or she was there. Tell them what bothers you about them. Ask them questions such as, why are you doing this to me? What do you want from me? What are you trying to show me? What do you have to teach me? Imagine their responses to these questions. Speak that imaginary response out loud. Record the conversation in your journal if you like. Step 4. Be it. Become this person. Take on the qualities that either annoy or fascinate you. Embody the traits you described in step 2. Use first-person language, I, me, mine. This may feel awkward, and it should. The traits you are taking on are the exact traits you have been denying in yourself. Use statements such as, I am angry, I am jealous, I am radiant. Fill in the blank with whatever qualities you are working with. I am blank. Step 5. Notice these disowned qualities in yourself. Experience the part of you that is this trait. Avoid making the process abstract or conceptual. Just be it. Now you can re-own and integrate this quality in yourself. You have just listened to part 2 The Shadow Work with Jeanette Brush, Om Ministries, I Am Consciousness. I just want to recap. I just shared part 2 of Scott Jeffrey's article on the shadow, which you can read at scottjeffrey.com. I'm actually going to put the link in the comments or in the description on each segment. There will be 4 total, actually 5, because I'm going to put up the exercises separate outside of the podcast. See you in part 3.